Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, Taggets, you got a combine or a tractor that needs serviced? Check out Complete Ag Resolutions. Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions. Hey, Gatch.
Aww.
We're on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
You want to listen on Stitcher?
Stitcher.
Cause I'll still remember. And now, it's time for the Halloween edition of the TagCast Podcast.
Good evening, and welcome.
It only happens once a year, so you should be glad you're here with Terry and Gatch, the TagCast Podcast.
Darkness falls across the land. Midnight hours, close at hand.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
That stuff expands in my chest and makes it feel like it's a pumpkin about to explode.
It's like wax triangles.
Something is happening. There's no crying in podcasting. Hello, and welcome to the TagCast Podcast episode.
Halloween.
Two.
You know what's weird? It's what? Episode 31.
I know it is. 31 on what, Halloween.
What day is Halloween on?
The 31st. It is more than cosmic coincidence.
It only happens once a year, kids.
Yep.
And this year, he's not an Indian for Halloween.
Nope.
He's Kris Kringle.
Yep. I'm leather Indian.
He crinkled himself up and crisscrossed the street.
Crisscross. I remember those guys.
Now, here's a question. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
It's a Thanksgiving movie because it's set right in between both.
I can almost see Jamie Lee Curtis's erect nipples through the wife beater shirt.
That would be, yeah.
Man. Happy Halloween and happy Humpoween.
That only comes around like every 7 years. Happy Humpoween.
Yeah. And for you girls, you should get out there and Humpoween.
Yep.
Halloweener.
And for you guys, go out and hump a pumpkin. Hump a pumpkin.
That's hard to say.
Yeah, it is. But
happy
when
hump
your
a
neighbors,
pumpkin.
Like, flip on their light and you're humping their pumpkin out in the middle of the street, it will be all worth it.
That's when you just look at him and say, bitch, you shouldn't have carved your pumpkin to look like Jenna Jameson.
I
wouldn't be fucking her in the mouth hole.
Yep, I wouldn't be pulling on her stem.
And maybe you shouldn't have left warm pumpkin insides inside it. What if you carved your pumpkin just like a big vagina?
Wow.
I've never seen one like that.
I have not either.
They've got those intricate chiselings, or what do we call
sculptures.
It? Yeah, that we talked about that I claim that I've never seen before this year. 2012, it's the end of the year.
Dude, that would be cool. Just a bunch of... All right, if somebody's
labia.
Got a pumpkin, I want just a bunch of pussies
just,
on the pumpkin.
Or just one big pussy lip.
Yeah, both. Yeah. On
or
the
maybe,
back, just one, and then just like a bunch of tiny ones.
On the back would be a butthole.
And then I will... let's finance that movie, because that's going to be the bad... That's going to be the bad guy. Pumpkin...
Humpaween.
Yep, Humpaween.
Starring Halloweener.
Yep. And pumpkin pussy.
His wiener isn't hollow anymore. In 1987, he came to you. In 2012, he's back. And his wiener is hollow.
Do, do, do.
Okay, so we're going to get goofy on you guys today because it's crazy Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, it is.
Are you guys...
Last weekend was like the weekend of Halloween if you did things on
To call that Halloweekend.
Halloweekend. Very
and,
nice.
And
very
we have
nice.
To have that
you
quite often.
You trademark that, dude. You got to be
You've
all
Gene
Simmons on that shit.
That happens in Rocktober, you know. You don't ever want to go on a Halloweekend excursion in Rocktober without a good band to see, or at least a band that wears makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what me and Dustin did this last weekend. We went to a Halloweekend. That's hard. I almost said
Halloweekend.
I said Weenkind.
Weenkind.
That's hard
now
to
you're
say.
Just making up stuff.
Halloweekend show.
Yeah.
And actually, it was not too bad. I thought more people would be not there. I don't know how.
There's more people than you thought.
Exactly. And there wasn't a lot of people, but there was a good healthy
turnout. There was a lot of stuff going on that night, too.
I had fun.
But, yeah, it was good times.
I won some free shirts.
I won a Diesto shirt. What'd you win?
I won a 30-pound test shirt.
I see you're wearing it.
Yeah, I'm wearing it today. And I won a Dead Guy Ale shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I won a special custom-made art shirt that doesn't say anything. It just has a weird picture of a girl with a really long nipple. It's like a profile picture of this weird chick, and she's got a weird head, and there's some weird stuff. It's weird all
on a shirt.
Yeah, it's just a black shirt with white print, and it's like a weird picture.
Somebody's my face picture.
No, it's just like a weird art thing, and it's professionally printed. Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name. I wish I did because I'd give him a shout out.
Speaking of remembering, do you remember your MySpace password?
I do, but I won't share it because I use the same one for quite a few just because.
Well, no, I wasn't going to ask you to share it.
I remember at least
anybody
one
remember
of them.
Their password.
Unfortunately, I had like 12.
One for every band, right?
I had like 12 MySpaces. Mm-hmm. They're probably still
because
out there.
Because they didn't have pages.
Yeah, and plus they couldn't. You didn't have to verify yourself as a person. You could say, my name's Domesticide.
Yeah.
No, I mean they had band pages too, but usually it'll ask your name and you could say, I'm Joe Blow. From Hoboken, New Jersey.
I know.
Or wherever.
And remember how quick or how easily I make pages now? I used to have to make a whole account.
Yeah. It's easier, isn't it?
It is.
And then you can, like, you can, whatever you call it, manage them all from one spot.
Yeah, you can.
Which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But,
all right.
I'm going to put some scary
have
noises
you ever,
behind
us. The craziest costume you've ever worn for Halloween?
Crazy as in as much stuff that I had to put on to do it, or just like something that a crazy character?
It's the silliest.
I haven't dressed up a lot, especially as an adult. I dressed up like a kind of a pirate, Johnny Deppy, one time.
Mm-hmm.
Shaved and drew on like a little swirly mustache and a thing, and I had like a goofy hat and some poofy clothes, and that was pretty goofy, pretty crazy. But
a couple years ago I was a wolf man, and I had
hair
all over my face, and that was, it would fall it would fall off though because I got sweaty singing karaoke.
Uh-huh.
And you were just a dude with a hat. You had a weird hat that
I was wearing
sash
my poker hat.
I thought that was your pimp hat.
It was my orange
was that your ass hat?
No, it was the orange Frampton hat. But I'd actually got that hat on a New Year's Eve over at Lincoln City. We were playing poker over there. And I was just on a mad rush. I won hundreds of dollars that night. And so I held it as my lucky poker hat. But at one time, they handed those out just around the midnight.
Wow.
And
free hats are good.
Yeah. And it had... I don't know. I think we got beads and all sorts of stuff. It was crazy. It was a crazy night.
So, yeah, tonight is Halloween. I think it's weird now that Halloween comes before we set our clocks back. Because when we set our clocks back, it's dark like 5.
Yeah.
And the kids can go out and do some trick-or-treat. Now they have to wait till 6. Fuck. That's late. And here's a weird thing I heard of. Our friend and maybe part-time listener, I know she listened or paid attention to our page once, Jessica. You know, Jessica Hansen up there in Yelm.
You sure it's coming?
It's hard to say.
Yelm?
Yelm.
Yelm.
Let me hear you Yelm.
It sounds like some on King of the Hill. Yelp.
Yelp.
Yelm.
And so, like, they're Yelm downtown for, like, whatever you call it. Oh, shit, it's time to go. This is a grandfather clock's ringing. But they had theirs on Saturday on Halloween. So she took her daughter trick-or-treating on the 27th. That's just weird.
I don't know if... You know, I mean, I know...
No houses participated, just the downtown businesses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard
like
of stuff
at the
like
mall
that.
Or... Mm-hmm. I guess they all take advantage of the Halloween thing, but...
Yeah. Well, I went on...
I would never go to someone's
actually,
house.
Actually, yesterday I went to Pizza Now, and I got a little... They were giving out treats.
That was nice of them.
I got a peanut M&M's.
There was some treats at the Geary Street Market. But I thought they were, but they were just candy on the counter that was 10. I almost grabbed one, then it said 10 cents. I'm like,
oh, look at this big bag of jerky for trick or treating.
Yeah, I'll take that. Do you mind? Do I take one piece or can I take a handful?
Do you give out candy ever?
I mean, yeah, we don't have a porch light. And the last couple of years, we haven't had the gumption. Is that a word?
Yeah.
To actually decorate. My wife has a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like when we lived out in Lacombe, she went like, ape nut crazy. Is that a word? Ape nut. Mm-hmm. Everything I say, I'm going to ask you. Is this a word? Is that a word? Ape nut. She'd go ape nut crazy and just like, we got a big old spider that's inflatable that scares kids and all these things, but we didn't put them out. We do have a little light that's like a solar garden spiked lights, but we only get like maybe 5 or 10 trick-or-treaters, but we buy one bowl of candy and then I usually eat it because they don't come.
Yep.
So that's cool. But have you, you get trick-or-treaters here?
Probably. Not often.
Maybe 5 in the night?
Yeah, I kind of...
Do you have a porch light that you can leave on?
No, I don't really leave it on.
Yeah, you're smart.
Well, Lance next door does. Sometimes I give him stuff to give out. Like this year, I'll probably give him some cat and Santa hat set that he can give to the kids.
Maybe some rotten bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I
like to joke
them.
That I keep the cigarette butts, old cigarette butts in a bowl, and then I just hold it right above their heads and have them reach in and grab all, tell them to take a handful.
Ew.
This year, though, I thought about giving them I can't even remember what it was. I had it earlier, but what about Fisherman's Friends? Have you ever had one of those?
No, but I've been hearing people that are sick talking about it.
Yeah,
actually,
they're great if you're sick.
I can give the shout out because I am an avid and loyal listener to the Big and Loud podcast.
Oh, really? Are you talking about Fisherman's Friends?
Don Frost has been eating. He ate 35 Fisherman's Friends in one day.
Whoa, dude.
And that's what his friend Jim said. He's like, you ate 35? And he goes, well, there's like 40 in a pack. And I ate like, I had 4 left, maybe 36. I guess I think I gave one to you. But are they minty? I don't even know what they are.
Not minty.
Not?
They are not made for flavor. They are not flavor enhanced.
What are they made for? Just
they're made for cough, and they're excellent at it. You know.
Yeah, he's coming off of his
those Luden
sickness.
Those Luden ones, you know, are like
They are candy. They don't even do a damn thing.
Yeah, and these ones are like they'll fucking knock the shit out of that cough.
So you
they're
maybe have a couple.
Friend. They're a fisherman's friend.
Because you're on the river or the ocean a lot and you're sick.
I was just having them when I was cold one time, and then I started adopting them as if they were candy.
You had some sort of an adverse reaction there when I said that he ate 35 in one day. What, you're like, ugh. If you guys can't hear the look on his face, he's like, his face is like, maybe.
Dude, if you ever had a fisherman's friend, though, you would know.
See, I
haven't. You know, you need... Go up and pick yourself up a pack. Because they're great when you're sick. That's the only thing that you should, as far as store-bought cough drops that you should go for.
Well, maybe.
But I used to give those out on Halloween to kids.
Wow. Did you think maybe they'd be getting a cold pretty soon? So you're just like, I'm trying to help you. I don't want to rot your teeth.
No, I'd be like, dude, check out this candy. It's so awesome.
They're and like, then, I like fishing.
And then they would go like, that's good, because they'd want to be cool.
It's like,
and then
I hate that house. All he gives out is Fisherman Friends and Necco wafers.
Dude, I would eat all the Necco wafers.
We should, that's what we should do.
Necco wafers and Rolaids.
That's not the same thing?
Yeah.
Except Necco wafers are like flattened out. So do you have any friends like at work or anything that are Christian enough to where they maybe didn't allow their kids to go trick-or-treating because or wear a costume because it's a pagan ritual? Have you heard Christian groups?
Let's, I knew
what about the Westboro Baptist
the day
Church?
That probably didn't, but no, not like. Okay, what do they got going on with it?
I don't know what they have going on. That just popped into my head because I would bet because they're
would
just
probably picket Halloween.
Yeah, they would pick it. They would pick it to death. But I was just reading here online about where Halloween. Do you ever wonder where the word Halloween?
Hallow's Eve, right?
Why it's ween though?
Because Gene and Dean.
Yeah, it all started because.
No, I do not.
No, een is kind of like air in the Shakespeare days. It means evening.
Yeah, good een.
Exactly. It's Hallow's evening. So for them to be lazy and bored or whatever, they say, oh, it's Halloween. It came from All Hallows Eve, and it was originally influenced by the European harvest festivals and festivals of the dead with possible pagan roots, particularly the Celtic Samhain, which I don't believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I want you to know what I'm saying for any Misfits fans, or Glenn Danzig's former band.
Yeah.
But I believe that it's pronounced differently.
He was a singer for Van Halen for a while, wasn't he? Sam Hanger?
No. That was Hanger 18. Sammy Hanger 18. No, but we'll get to this later, too. And I asked on my page, and I don't know how many people I know. At least one person responded about what your favorite Halloween activities. And this is the well-known activities are trick-or-treating, also known as guising. Didn't know that. Attending costume parties, carving pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns, apple bobbing, haunted houses, playing pranks and telling scary stories and watching horror films. Now, where do you think that the trick-or-treating came in? Like, hey, I got a pickle for an arm. Give me some candy. I'm crazy pickle arm. Look at me. I'm crazy. Give me some candy.
I think it would be when... I'm going to say in the, was it the, 1900s, right? 20th century?
Somewhere around there. Yeah. I think 1895, a recorded in America in 1911, but it was all called guising still back then. They were guising cause they're in disguise, I had a lot of people say like, I don't want to teach my kid to go to stranger's house and ask for candy, even if it is when they're in a costume only one time a year. I mean, and just the whole trick or treat.
Mm-hmm.
It says basically you're supposed to say it as a question: trick or treat.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be, motherfucker?
Yeah.
The word trick refers to a mostly idle threat to perform mischief on the homeowners of the property if no treat is given. So that's kind of like, what would they say? I don't give out candy on Halloween. Slam-o.
Yeah, that's and that's.
And then he wakes up with toilet paper in his trees.
Yep, that's what you get. Or your forks in your yard.
Ah, plastic forks that will freeze, and then they just break off.
Yard fork.
So it originally started in Scotland in 1895.
Oh, really?
Yeah, masqueraders in disguise carrying lanterns made out of scooped out turnips. That was the original jack-o'-lanterns. They used turnips.
Uh-huh.
And they would visit homes to be rewarded with cakes, fruit, and money.
Wow.
They'd give them money.
See, when I was, I remember getting dimes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I got some wooden nickels, but I didn't take them. Because my dad always told me, don't take no wooden nickels.
Yeah, I used to associate it with the Halloween carnival at school. Right, because you'd go to the thing and you'd have the cakewalk.
Hmm.
You know, now I hear it's the 2-liter walk. They don't, you know.
Huh.
You know, because you used to, you bring a cake, right?
People
would bring cake.
Yeah, or some kind of a home-baked treat of some kind.
Yeah.
Not store-bought candy, but nowadays.
2-liter of Dr. Pepper.
Nowadays, you got to have something that's sealed in a package that you didn't seal, or else the parents, you know, are never going to...
I would cakewalk until I want a cake. That was always my goal.
Wow.
I liked other games, too.
So it says the first place that was actually recorded... It said 1911, but the first place that they actually know where it was in Chicago in 1920, was the first reference.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah. And the first reference of the words trick-or-treat in print appears in 1927.
by who wrote it?
Somebody from Alberta, Canada.
Oh, wow.
It was a newspaper article, and it said, the youthful tormentors were at back door and front demanding edible plunder by the word trick-or-treat, to
Linda.
Which the inmates gladly responded and sent the robbers away joying. Robbers?
Wow.
Wow.
So maybe it was like a stick-up, because you know how people rewrite history, you know? Maybe it was like they'd go and rob them for all their doubloons.
Let me read that before. It says, Halloween provided an opportunity for some real strenuous fun. No real damage was done except to the temper of some who had to hunt for wagon wheels, gates, and wagons and barrels, much
they
of which decorated
stuff.
The front. The youthful tormentors were at the back door in front demanding edible plunder. By the word, trick-or-treat. Sorry, buddy, that's three words. I don't know what you're talking about.
Trick or treat, though, is it dashed? Sometimes it gets dashed.
It's not. Oh, it gets dashed here, but in the quote, trick or treat, it's not dashed, but in every other aspect, it is dashed.
Maybe the activity is trick or treat with the
verb,
dash.
The verb and then the noun is non-dashed.
Yeah. So
I wonder why they started wearing costumes, though.
Maybe so people didn't know who it was. Or maybe that's just to the devil's side of it, though, right?
Yeah, I guess it was prevalent in Ireland and Scotland in the late 19th century, and it became popular for Halloween parties in the U.S. in early 20th century, more often for adults than for children.
Oh, yeah, well, that was just the Depression, right? People scavenging for food.
Well, they had, like, costume parties, that not even for Halloween.
Oh, really. So it was like Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
With candy.
Exactly. And they said the first mass-produced Halloween costumes didn't appear in stores till the 1930s. So there you go.
I believe it. And so I wonder what some of those first ones would be, like Little Abner. Was that before Little Abner's time?
Buckwheat.
What about
Slave Jim from Tom Sawyer?
What about
I caught you off guard on that
damn,
one.
Damn,
didn't that?
The Great Gatsby.
Well, maybe someone. Right. Yeah, I guess. Or you go as the Tin Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After 1938. Yeah. Maybe you could go as someone from like books and just use your imagination.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm. You know, real quick, I'm just going to interject
Scrabble
by throwing a pin, and I'm going to interject the sports surprise sports moment.
Do, 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 do.
The surprise sports moment.
What's up?
So, the San Francisco Giants won that World Series. They swept it in 4-0 over the Detroit Tigers.
Go Giants!
But this is the lowest rated. On TV, it was the lowest-rated World Series ever.
I campaigned hard against it. I told all my friends not to watch it.
But you know what that means, though? More people watched the 1908 World Series on TV than watched this one.
No way.
This has the lowest-rated TV of any World Series ever.
World, seriously?
That's what it said on the headlines. It said.
How many people had a TV in 1908? That had to be a misprint.
It said lowest ever.
Well, I believe it. Maybe they didn't have... Was that the first World Series,
1908? No. I think the first World Series was...
That was
1901 or 1898.
All right, so I told you earlier when we were talking about Halloween and its origins that I'd posted a thing on my Facebook for questions, topics, comments. I got nothing usually, but then I asked some questions like, what's your favorite Halloween activity? What/who did you dress up as this year? And finally, what would be your ultimate Halloween costume? I heard from Dust Gatch, he doesn't count. He's wearing a Santa hat. Santa, yes. Whatever. Our good buddy, though, up in Canada, old Nickelback Adrian Bacon Farrell, his favorite activity for Halloween is taking his kids out and then checking, that's in quotes, checking their candy to make sure it is safe. Which means he'll eat a good 30% of it. This year, he's going to dress up as a huge piece of bacon.
Nice.
That's going to be his costume. What, are you just going to go naked?
Sorry. I think so.
That was dead silence. And his ultimate costume would just be a giant penis.
Well, I've seen
And that's
stuff.
When I say, what are you going to do? Just go naked?
Ew.
Oh.
Ohio.
They have those things like, I remember a friend of mine, his infamous costume that everyone always talked about every year.
Which one was that?
He had, no, he had the trench coat, right? With the shorts on, with the, like, the short shorts.
Right.
And then he had, like, one of those long socks that he painted pink, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he stuffed it with other socks and put it on a spring, so when he opened up his trench coat, this long sock, like 2 foot long tube sock,
yeah,
would fling up. Boing. That is pretty funny, though. It would be a funny costume. Yeah. I've also seen a used tampon as a costume.
Ew.
Just, they were just covered in white and then some red on the top.
Gross.
That is eerie.
Wasn't that scary?
What about a candy corn costume? Has anybody ever worn one of those?
Go as a candy corn?
Yeah. Or a raisin. I bet in California raisins, that was probably really
yeah,
big. When
sure.
are those guys coming back?
Did they ever go away?
I don't know. You know, before that, they were the grapes.
I heard it through the grapevine that that was true. I heard it through...
Did you watch the Office Halloween special?
I did. Taryn went as a dog. Oh, no, it's a puppy. Sorry, yeah. She's a puppy.
And then Dwight had that pumpkin on his head.
I thought about trying to do that. That'd be, as soon as I saw him do it, but then I thought, oh.
It was at its funniest when he was walking around outside with the dog. I'm just going to wear it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I try to love The Office like I used to, but I just don't quite. It's not the same. But I thought that was pretty funny that that one chick, I can't remember her name, dressed up like Toby.
Yeah, that sexy Toby.
Yeah, I'm sexy Toby. And I thought they were going to hit it off, but then it didn't really pan out for Toby.
A little weird that like Oscar and Angela are
That has been going on for senator. Like almost as long as
it's
Angela.
So funny that it's a senator too.
Like Angela and Dwight was under wraps, but it's, you know, the camera kind of knew about it. But yeah, that's pretty strange, pretty risque actually. I'm trying to decide which I liked better, the version or last week's episode of The Office or Walking Dead. Because did you watch Walking Dead Sunday?
Yeah, are you all caught up?
Yeah, I wasn't really that happy with the episode, I guess just because it did abandon our regular
spoiler
characters.
Spoiler alert. And then what? Okay, remind me what happened.
It just didn't show anything about...
It didn't...
It focused on...
The new group.
Angela, I think her name is.
Yeah, the new group and Merle coming back. And it's bringing in new characters.
And I understand that, but I thought that they could at least go back to our camp. Well, I call it our camp. Back to the prison where they finally...
Yeah. And they still have time, but I think it's more like they're trying to show, you know, that there's more camps like that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even better organized. And... I didn't think it was a very exciting episode either. And I watched it like 4 times because I'm too lazy to change the channel and they show it like all
I watched
night long.
It twice because the first time through, it was a weird time in the day and I had eaten a brownie. I always blame everything on that. And plus, I smoked a bunch and then I started watching it. And within 10 minutes, I was falling asleep within 10 minutes and I'd been waiting and waiting to see it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'll just watch it later at 11 when I'm awake.
It wasn't the best episode, and I don't know, but I just didn't like that guy. That guy just seemed eerie.
The new guy?
He shot down. Do you watch the Talking Dead afterwards?
Uh-uh. I never have. Have you?
Yeah. Well, they show it right afterwards, so if you watch it on the TV, you DVR
it. I've been
DVRing
it, yeah.
Yeah, DVR the Talking Dead, too, because they talk about it right afterwards.
That must be what... They call it that. I'm choking on a donut.
Choking on a donut.
But
every picture tells a story, don't it?
And I hate to ask questions because I know that no one knows and the answer will come later.
Oh, I know. I've talked to the guy.
Okay, then why did that guy go up to him and said, hey, we found your friend. Sorry, the pilot made it, but the other guys didn't. Oh, we found you too. Boom, 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 boom. They just shot everybody.
Well, that's what they were talking about on Talking Dead. That's why I asked if you've seen The Talking Dead.
And then they come back and say... Well, we found him, but the biters got him first.
They had the executive producer there he's talking about.
I don't even want to know.
No, but I'm just going to say, like, one of the thoughts that one of the guys, you know, because they just kind of theorized, but one of the guys said that maybe it's like, I mean, you got a camp that is going well, a whole thing going on. Do you really want to bring in these guys that can pretty much overtake you if they want?
Right.
You know, I mean, you got to protect.
It's all for one and one for all. It's all for yourself, I mean, right?
Yeah, and they have all those resources. I mean, but it was pretty brutal, you know?
Yeah, I was.
And they're starting to be more brutal to other humans rather than just the zombies.
It's like each man for himself kind of.
They're cold. They are cold.
And the more times you have to kill again, the more times you're going to be getting.
Here's one of the questions they posed, and I will pose this question to you, since you didn't watch it. Who do you think Merle Chuckwagon, is that his last name, Merle's Chuckwagon?
No, I don't think most people know what that is, but...
Yeah, that's fine. That's
no, but his brother's Daryl, right? Daryl and Merle?
Yep, and his other brother. No, who do you think Merle will have the bigger beef with?
Rick? He called him a prick.
Or T-Bone, who dropped the key down the hole and is black.
I think the fact that he's black is enough for Merle to just hate him enough as it is because he's kind of that kind of a guy,
but
I think.
He dropped the key, though.
On purpose?
Well, still, it's like...
It was an accident. Rick left him there.
You stupid slave.
Jim.
Yeah.
Slave Jim. No, I think he'd have more of a beef with Rick, and I kind of would too. But then again, if you thought about it at the time, you'd like, I totally understand, because what can you do?
But Rick came back for him.
Right. Yeah, they both did, Rick and Daryl, but he was gone.
Yeah, but T-Bone didn't.
He'd already cut his hand off.
Yeah. T-Bone's going to be
speaking
more scared
of him.
Limbs,
I feel a lot more of a connection with Herschel now since they had to cut his leg off. That was pretty brutal.
Herschel?
They just whacked that fucker off with a hatchet.
Yeah. You know, when he becomes a walker, he's going to be Herschel Walker.
he's not going to be. They're calling him biters now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Herschel Walker, he's a football guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is JJ's brother. He's a dynamite football player.
You get one sports point.
Yeah, because I knew that. But he's old school, right?
Yeah, he is. He's an old cowboy.
Have you ever heard of you probably have heard of like those nerdy, sorry, any of you ghost lovers, but like the ghost hunter club. They probably have TV shows about it. I don't watch them, but.
Yeah, I don't really tend to watch those. I mean, it's pretty much just other people being frightened a la Blair Witch Project, right?
Probably. I think that these people did this because Halloween's coming up. It was on Monday, I think. Yeah, Monday, about 50 people, mostly members of the Bay Area Ghost Hunters group, gathered in San Jose for a seance. Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what happened? Who were they trying to draw up? Did they ever say?
It doesn't really say. It just says the event was organized by the group and led by the Livermore-based psychic advisor Irma Slage.
Slage.
They had it at downtown's Old Spaghetti Factory. They just asked the person to answer questions about deceased loved ones, and a local historian once told them that there are no ghosts in San Jose, but apparently those people are wrong because this lady said that they could feel the spirits, and plus they were like, who could even declare such a thing that there are no ghosts in a whole city? But there's some people who just don't believe in it.
Yeah, you just have to not believe in ghosts at all, and then why would... You know, if you believe in ghosts, you just don't really take their opinions.
Couldn't
right?
be like, I don't believe that there's ghosts in San Jose.
Yeah.
There might be ghosts other places, but not in San Jose.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's probably them just, yeah.
But when I first read this,
not
I thought.
In my backyard.
I thought, oh, they're going to have a seance or they're going to contact the ghost of Tupac or something and ask him how he keeps putting out records. But no, it was just, they're just basically having this psychic from Liverpool who's supposed to be a big deal.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she's male or female. Her name is Irma with an I.
That usually means that it's a hermaphrodite.
Herma. It's an hermaphrodite. Irma Slade.
Herma.
A lot of participants. It doesn't say whether she's male or female.
Huh.
But anyway, yeah, I was hoping for a more climactic, instead of being so anticlimactic. This is a little bit more fun. They had a 5K run to raise money. You know how people do that all the time? This is out in Michigan. But it was the zombie chase. And so they had a bunch of people run, but they had like 20 zombies chasing the people to keep them running. You've heard of those before?
They had one here in town.
A zombie run?
Yeah, it was like a 5K zombie run. And where some people are zombies, you pretty much paid $20 to enter. And then you could choose whether you wanted to be a zombie or a human. And then if you're a human and you got touched by a zombie, then you turned into a zombie.
Mm. These people
and
raced.
And tried to get regular people.
5K through a cornfield maze.
Oh, wow.
And nearby woods.
Now, was it similar to what I was saying?
Yeah, they paid fees based on whether they
just infect other people or whatever.
Turn
them into zombies.
It doesn't say that, but what they did is they had about 150 people who had signed up to do it, and then 1 minute after those people started, they let 20 zombies go. And and it didn't say anything about whether they caught them or whatever, but it was just a thing to raise money. They raced through cornfield and nearby woods, and they paid fees whether they ran as humans or zombies. Fake body parts and blood were seen on some of the zombie entrants, of course, and there wasn't anything really like this in their whole area, which I didn't know they had one here.
I just read about it on the back of the local recreation mag. It was just a small stream. It wasn't like in a corn maze. That sounds pretty cool in a corn maze.
Yeah, and then into a wooded area that's past.
Yeah,
it.
You would have to be scary. You'd run into a dead end, turn around, and you'd have a zombie there. You'd really have to watch out.
Ah, and then you turn around and run.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't even know that they had anything like that around here. I know they have the corn maze.
Well, yeah. They're just getting pretty big. They're just zombie things, and they seem pretty easy to organize.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get a bunch of people. I'm waiting for some senile old man, like I said, I think last week, to shoot them all. You know, to think that they're real zombies.
Or, okay, have you ever, you said, I think last week or the week before, that you've never been through a corn maze?
No, never.
Okay, well, there's the one down towards Eugene at Lone Pine Farms, and it's pretty big, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they have crazy dudes and Jason dressed dudes and crazy zombies and different people hiding in the shadows that jump out and scare you. And then there's a couple dudes that have chainsaws, but their saws don't have chains on them, but they'll like.
Oh, really?
Ring, and it's super loud, and you can smell the gas motor and everything. It's like, ring.
Get your motor running.
So here's what I'm wondering. What if some psycho who pretends not to be a psycho gets hired to be one of these people, and then he switches out his chainsaw right at the last minute and then just fucking cuts a bunch of kids up and people?
Oh.
Don't get any ideas, you guys, by listening. Yeah. I'm sorry that I like the way my brain works.
I do too, dude.
But I would never try that unless I was totally demented, and I'm only partially demented.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But you would have to be ready to plead insanity.
Well, yeah, because you got to be crazy. I mean, to kill people and cut them up.
Crazy.
Speaking of cutting up, do you think that there's any way that you could fit 19 kids into a compact car without cutting them up into pieces with a chainsaw? That's a lot. I've seen
in a compact.
Well, it's a Renault. What's a Renault?
Ooh. I was going to say a Pinto, but I think a Pinto is actually larger than a Renault, isn't it?
They're about the same. I think it's a four-door.
Hmm.
So do you think...
No,
I've seen 19 clowns get out of a VW Bug, but I was a kid, and they were coming in from the other door.
Yeah.
And that was fake.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know I'm probably getting to a story. There is this a preschool teacher who was pulled over. She had 19 kids in her car to take a field trip to the shopping center. In a Renault. This is in South Africa. Pretoria, which is kind of like Peoria, but Pretoria. Police said that Melanie Minnie, a faculty member at the nursery school there in Pretoria, was pulled over in a Renault, and officers found she was driving 19 children back to the school from a local shopping center. She had 3 children in the front seat, 10 in the back seat, and 6 were found riding in the boot of the car. Is that the trunk?
I think it's kind of like a hatchback kind of a thing.
The boot. You guys are in the boot.
So,
She got
these
a ticket.
These are small children then.
Yeah, they're like
the
preschoolers.
Nursery, which is
3 to 5
even worse, right?
Yeah, and do you suppose they had 19 seat belts?
No.
No. It said that the officers had already ferried a carload of 10 children back to the school, and she had 19 more, but she wanted to get them all in one trip instead of taking two more. She was quoted as saying, "I'll never do that again."
Oh, wow.
That's a good one, huh? She was fined about $160 for overloading her car. And then it was said it was unclear whether any of the children were wearing seatbelts, but she could have got $100 worth of seatbelt tickets per kid, I would think. You know, that'd be like $2,000 in seatbelt tickets.
I'll never do that again.
That's a great quote.
It is.
Her last name is Minnie. Mm-hmm. Melanie Minnie. I'll never do that again.
That's great. Do they have that on video, like a YouTube?
I don't think so. I found it on a Odd News UPN dot something, UPI. I don't even know what it is. I get my crazy news from a weird channel. And that actually been on the back burner. That happened about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of it when I was talking about cutting kids off.
Yeah.
That's like if you hit in a corn maze and chop people up with a reel, you could probably fit 19 people.
Children of the Corn, man. That would be a great Halloween outfit.
Children of the Corn Maze.
Children of the Corn Maze.
That's people that got pregnant in a corn maze because they were doing some fucking... Speaking of killing kids and kids killing them, did you hear about that kid last week? A 11-year-old kid was charged with manslaughter from a 3-year-old, 3-month-old baby that it killed.
Wow. No, I do not think so.
Wow. Well, man, I know you don't have kids or anything, but I do, and a lot of our listeners do. What if your 11-year-old kid had to go to court for killing a 3-month-old? I mean, I
couldn't even imagine. Is this one where the mother turned in the kid?
It's in Maine.
There was a couple cases where mothers had to turn their kids in. But, yeah, I mean...
I think
I don't
it's a
know.
Girl
do you think,
because it's Kelly with
an
I.
Is there a mental thing going on or?
Kelly Murphy, who was 10 at the time, prosecutors say she hit and smothered the newborn and she's facing juvenile charges and she will not be subjected to a jury trial should the legal proceedings reach that stage. But I just try to understand what the parents would be thinking. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what their background is or how that girl was raised or why. If she,
anybody, even just like Columbine things, too. I mean, what would the parents think when your kid does something like that? You'd have to go through the denial, I think, almost immediately, right?
Yeah.
Be tough.
It is tough. The prosecutors have even declined to release the official cause of death of the baby. Mm-hmm. And then they were hit with a more serious murder charge, meaning prosecutors don't believe that she intended to kill the baby, but that's a tough call either way. I mean, even if she was just playing, oh, I just hit her in the face and smothered her with a pillow, I was just playing around like I do with my doll. But I think the most she could get is be ordered to live in a juvenile detention facility until the age of 21. But she declined to enter a plea. I don't know if that was prompted by the lawyers or what.
Probably, because I mean,
because 11-year-old she don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What do I do? What do I plea?
It depends upon her maturity level, I guess, and what's her cognitive. I mean, if she's like, I hated that children and I'm gonna kill again.
Well, yeah. I mean, comes back to what we talked about, Walking Dead. That the more people you kill, the colder you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if you've only killed one person, if you're 11, I mean, like, you know you killed it. You're in trouble. You're getting talked to by officials in suits and a bunch of stupid shit like that. But
what would you do if you got a call from a friend the other day and he tells you, hey, you're supposed to be dead. They're having a wake for you right now.
I would say... pretty sure my wife has an insurance policy on me. See if that's available and let me get back to you.
Yeah, they had a...
I'd show up in disguise.
Yeah, would you? Would you just disappear then? Is that the route you're taking?
If there was a big chunk of change coming to my wife and if there was somehow a misunderstanding, maybe.
But it'd be hard to disappear and still be in touch.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
There's a big chance you take of trying to fraud or whatever. Yeah. But I might go. That'd be so mean, though.
It would be.
I couldn't live with myself because my friends wouldn't live with me to go there. I just want to go see how sad everyone would be, or if anyone even showed up.
Yeah, yeah. But that happened to a guy.
I heard something
in
about
Brazil.
That.
He apparently somebody had looked like him. And his brother identified him
as dead,
as that was his body.
That's my brother.
And so, yeah, they showed up at his own wake, and people started freaking out. I mean, what? Yeah, if you were at a wake, and then the guy who you thought was dead, it's a classic, you know. I mean, you've seen that in comedy movies and stuff.
See,
right?
And that's
right?
Weird to me because we mess around with that old stereotype of all black people look the same.
Yeah,
but, this guy was a black guy, and. Just goes to show you that might be a little true when you can't even tell if it's your brother. That's him.
Yeah.
Look at the black skin. That must be him. That's my brother.
Here's another Brazilian story, these crazy Brazilians.
Well, I like these because it makes me think of Sepultura. Yeah.
This documentary guy was making a documentary about selling virginity or something.
Dude, I saw something about that, and I'd read the story. Go ahead. I didn't read it all. Did he get it?
And... an anonymous Japanese man won an auction online.
$780,000?
Yeah, to take this 20-year-old be her first sexual encounter.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But the thing is, $780,000, but they also, did you hear, they also auctioned off a man's virginity that day.
I think I read a snippet of that part.
$3,000.
And it was, what a difference.
Yeah.
And it was some 40-year-old woman or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about that. Yeah. But I also read that for this $780,000, they're going to have a gynecologist come in and make sure that the hymen is intact and that indeed she has not had any sexual intercourse with anyone. And then the guy was kind of bummed when he kind of realized that it's just going to be a one-time thing.
He thought he was buying her hand in marriage?
He knew that he wasn't, but he was just, I think, being honest. The thing that I read said that he was kind of bummed. That he knew that in the back of his head all the time, but then he'd kind of made a fantasy of, like, maybe... Because, you know, if you had a girl that was a virgin and you were the first one to ever get her, that could be, like, your soulmate.
And then $780,000, I mean...
I'd want to get some money's worth out of that, right?
Yeah.
Would you got to go, like...
I would just say that's a week, right? 780,000.
Well, he'd have to maybe buy a whole bunch of Viagra and just say, "You have to have sex with me until my penis is not hard anymore."
Yeah.
It's like 72 hours.
Apparently, it's got to happen on a plane, though.
I know, above, so it's not in. Yeah, wow, that's crazy how they just go around all. They just fly over it.
Yeah, and we're that's like, going to be the one of the planes that Denzel Washington has to fly and flip over. Have you seen that? That trailer?
No, but he was going to be on Letterman or something the other night.
Oh, he was on Letterman.
Well, I switched the channel, though.
Oh,
so he wasn't on it in my house.
That was he had no audience that night.
Well, because everyone was afraid of the storm.
Yeah. And, he showed a trailer, and the plane was flying like 10 feet above buildings, upside down, a commercial jet. Can that really
almost happened almost on 9/11. They were just a little bit low, but they weren't upside down. I've never seen a commercial jet fly upside down.
It was upside down because the maneuver that they were going, he's like, this is what I got to do, and then he did it.
Turns out
he was drunk and on coke.
Well, that makes for the best pilots.
Well, that's the thing. That's what John Goodman says.
Yeah. Does he still say that? I heard him say that once, but...
No, I think it was in the trailer. I saw that movie.
In the trailer?
The trailer.
Hey, before I forget, I was kind of amazed, you know, because Halloween is Halloween, and it's the 31st of October. We got a bunch of celebrity birthdays today, and Brian Doyle Murray, do you know who that is?
Brian Doyle Murray, no.
It's Bill Murray's big brother, older brother. He was on Saturday Night Live. He's in a ton of movies with them. He's kind of... bald, and he's kind of squinty-eyed a lot of times.
So he's
and,
like Clint Howard?
Kind of. Exactly like Clint Howard. No, and then John Candy, also born on Halloween.
Oh, wow.
even though he's dead.
Spooky.
He would have been 62 today, but he's not with us. And this is kind of not a Halloween movie, but the creator and stuff of Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson, born on Halloween. Also from SNL, it's 1963, and it's Rob Schneider gets 1 year older. Rob Schneider is a stapler.
59? 49?
Yeah, 49.
Wow.
He's going to be 50 next year, and then he can take over Mary Catherine Gallagher's skit as I'm 50.
I'm 50.
King Ad Rock, that is his name. He was born in 66, and he likes champagne. Beastie Boys, King Ad Rock.
King Ad Rock!
I believe he's 46. And on with the rappers, Vanilla Ice. What's his name? Rip Van Winkle? No.
Rip Van Winkle.
No. Oh, what's Vanilla Ice's name?
Robert Van Winkle.
Yeah, okay. We talked about him with Josh Finch earlier this week. Vanilla Ice, 45 today.
Wow.
And from Napalm Death and many other bands, Mitch Harris, guitarist.
Happy birthday, Mitch.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you in about 2 weeks, brother.
I have two friends on my friends list that are very close to me, very special to me, that have their birthday on Halloween.
I couldn't find any. Who are
they? They're very personal friends of mine.
One of them is Satan.
Ash Street Saloon and Plan B Bar.
Oh, I saw those. They're both a year older.
They're lying.
No, it's their birthday. It's the day they were birthed.
But they opened up on Halloween?
No, it's the day who owns the page's birthday.
Oh.
I wonder if it's Heather. Well, hey, if it's your birthday, Heather, happy birthday. If not, you're not listening anyway because you're mean.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true. You know, did you hear seven Tibetans set themselves on fire? They've been doing immolation lately.
Who?
The Tibetans.
No, immolation?
Yeah, where they set themselves on fire in protest.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, immolation.
Wow.
Where you burn yourself.
There's a band called Immolation. I never really knew what it meant.
Yeah, yeah. To protest Chinese rule.
Wow.
But yeah, would you just imagine that, like, you're so upset
that you just set yourself on fire.
You set yourself on fire and run down the street waving your arms?
I'm so upset myself on fire. I could never do it, man. I've seen pictures.
It's a religious thing.
I bet. I've seen, like, a Tibetan monk. They're the cover of Rage Against the Machine, you know, that famous photo of that.
What's that really going to do, though? Is somebody going to go, oh, don't
it's
do that?
It's going to sting.
You think? No, I mean, do you think China's going to say, oh,
can't believe another person lit himself on fire. We better change some shit before that happens again. No, they're going to think, oh, population control. We've got 85 quadrillion people. Well, let's burn them up.
People hate living here so much, they'd rather set themselves on fire.
Exactly. Well, good. Either burn yourself up or go live somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. The only thing I think about Immolation when I think about it right now is that they're slated to be on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise that's coming up with a Metal Church. And by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this, but the plans have been solidified. We've got a couple metalhead rocker people that we're going to be doing some interviews with upcoming episodes on the Tagcast podcast. We're going to be talking to Ronnie Monroe, singer of Metal Church.
Yeah.
And they have been broke up for a few years, but they are doing
a
reunion.
He's got tons of other stuff that he does.
Oh, he does. Right? He sang for Lillian Axe. He sang for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He sang for...
That's coming to town, too, isn't it?
Brutal Gods, I believe. I don't know. But I don't think he's singing for them anymore.
Yeah.
But he's doing his solo career as well, putting out albums. And he's going to be nice enough to grant us a phone interview. We're going to be talking about
that's awesome.
40,000. It used to be 40,000. They've upped it. It's now 70,000 tons of metal.
Wow.
It's supposed to be 40 bands. 20 are confirmed. Bands like Halloween. Got confused because today is Halloween. But yeah, Ronnie Monroe will be talking to him. And Shane Inbury of Napalm Death has agreed to do a Skype interview. And you won't get to see it because this is an audio podcast, but you'll get to hear the questions and the answers. He's played in probably 10 really awesome grindcore and heavy metal bands like Venomous Concept, Brujeria, if that's how you pronounce it, Unholy Terror. I can't even lock up. I can't even think of all of them, but we'll be getting to that. So yeah, hopefully we'll be getting more real people on our show. Not
sure,
that any
man.
Of our guests aren't real, but
Do you like bean sprouts in your lice?
No.
Me neither, man.
I used to eat some alfalfa sprouts on my salad sometimes, but...
those are a little bit different. They're not as crunchy, right?
No, they're not very tasty either.
So, but bean sprouts, man, aren't they just nasty?
I don't even know if I've ever had them, but they sound like they'd be nasty.
But
why are you asking me this?
Well, why don't they just let them grow up to be beans? Why do they gotta... Who's these...
Why can't you be pro-bean?
Why you want to abort the beans? Don't abort the bean.
Why you got to abort the
bean? Let them grow. And then people eat them. They eat the bean sprouts. They eat little bean fetus.
Maybe you could be an aborted bean fetus for Halloweenus.
Wow. Aborted bean fetus. That is a band name.
Now, I was talking to the gentleman at the Chevron in Brownsville as I was fueling up before I came over, and he's also the drummer from the Bone Jars, Steve Carlisle. And he said that after John Denver died, that he wanted that year to dress up as John Denver with just a mutilated face and a John Denver wig. And then he said, Too soon. I said, that'd be in poor taste. He goes, oh, and he goes, thanks, have a good day. And then he goes, oh, wait. And I thought, like, he forgot to give me change. He's like, speaking of poor taste, he goes, the girl in works in here, Jenna, she was asking one to be dressed as a zombie, you know, as a lot of people did. And he goes, I thought it'd be more one of a kind if maybe you could dress as a, what do you call it, partial birth abortion zombie. He said that she told him that was also in poor taste. But I don't know, would you have like a fetus hanging out of your
hoo-ha? You could. What if they have those costumes where they have like the sheep in front of you, you know? That you're like having sex with the sheep, you know? Where it's all in the front of your pants. What if you just had like a little fetus right there glued to the front of your crotch?
Like you were up in it?
Yeah.
That's poor taste. That's in poor taste. That might be in poor taste as well.
That's funny, though.
It is kind of funny, you know.
It's just a bean fetus.
Bean fetus or not, poor taste. That's what I've been told anyway. Hey, before I forget, like I always say about everything, what do you think's in Hans's CD player today? It's Halloween. You'd think he'd be listening to something spooky.
Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys.
Wrong. Today is Goat Snake.
Oh, wow.
Dog Days. That's three animals. Goat, Snake, Dog Days. But, you know, I don't think I have that album and I want to check it out. So, Hans, if you're listening, burn me a copy of that Dog Days CD. And if you already did, well, just tell me that and then I'll look through mine and see if I can find it. Yeah, I've been getting ready for that Napalm Death show coming up. I'm pretty stoked about it. I was pretty stoked to get an email from Shane and have him tell me, you know, they're playing in Boston. I think Monday night they played Boston, and I think they're Minnesota last night. And said the weather's really rough back then, so they're going to wait a couple of days, and we'll hook up with the interview. But I was listening to the first album that he was on. Actually, no. He was listed as a member, but he wasn't on the album, I believe. Uh-huh. It was called Scum. It's a classic Napalm Death album. Nice. I was listening to the vinyl of that. And so do the math, 1987. Shane has been in Napalm Death for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. He's the only member left out of the non-original members. But he's the longest surviving member of Napalm Death, so... I was listening to some Scum.
Nice.
It's kind of I'll say it. It's kind of a tough listen, but it's awesome. But to know that it was a groundbreaking recording and release, people weren't doing stuff like
that. It's more punky,
then.
Right?
And then I got to reading the history of Napalm Death, and they actually, first incarnation was 1981.
Oh, wow.
So if you go by like first gig stuff, they've been doing it for over 30 years.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's better than the Stones were doing after 30 years.
I mean, and they weren't a grindcore. Yeah, that's for sure.
93.
I can't wait till Napalm Death does their 50th. You know,
yeah.
50, like the Stones are doing right now.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, what's in your junk drawer?
The NBA.
The entire NBA?
The entire NBA. I couldn't, somebody said... Because the season starts today, somebody said the season starts today, and I said, "Oh, That's still a sport?
Oh, I get you what you mean. They're junk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole sport's junk.
Okay. I agree. I'm glad you're finally coming around the mountain when you come.
I am. I am on basketball, especially.
Well, in any other sport, for that matter.
Yeah? No, yeah. No.
Oh, sorry.
And Beavers lost. I kind of smirked a little bit. Sorry, Beavers fans. You know what? And I'll say why.
Why?
Because if both teams end up undefeated and play at the end of the year, it will make bad blood.
Bad blood, bad blood.
It will make bad blood between people.
Fuck people.
All right.
I don't want anybody to have bad blood because of sports.
Yeah.
Prove
I know.
Point.
That's why, yeah. That's why they should just back off and let the ducks get
They should legalize marijuana and ban sports.
They should legalize marijuana so the players don't get arrested and then kicked off the team for smoking marijuana.
Yeah, let's legalize steroids while we're at it so we can get Lance Armstrong.
And laptops are okay to steal if you're on the U of O football team.
Maybe we could get Lance Armstrong one of his balls back. I mean, one of his titles back.
Dude, people should just be allowed to do steroids in their sports now.
In their spare time. For fun.
No, in their sports. Why not?
Because.
It's already tainted every other sport is. That's the sacrifice you make to be the best. They showed that in cycling right there when the whole thing went down when they said, basically, you got to that level. You train your entire life to get to that level, and then you get to that level, and they go, hey, everybody's doping.
Boom.
What do you do?
Fired.
Do you quit playing, or do you give up your lifelong dream?
You make everybody's
Or do
time.
You start doping?
I guess you'd start doping because, you know, you kind of got a point. Like, what if, say, comedians weren't allowed to smoke marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything would be very funny.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's some comics that don't smoke marijuana, mm-hmm. so don't get the stereotype too wrong. But the majority of comedians smoke marijuana, admittedly. Yeah. And just think, say, if somebody won an Emmy for a funny TV show or a Grammy for a funny album, a comedy mm-hmm. album, Tenacious D or Flight of the Conchords, and then,
yeah.
Oh, we found out that he was under the influence of marijuana that enhanced his performance.
Yeah, yeah.
We're stripping him
well,
of his
Grammys. Think about it. Think about it in music. Like, you know, you played music for a long time, and then imagine someone going, okay, now's the time for your break. And you can get your break, but you just got to smoke heroin for the rest of your life.
I'd do it.
Really?
I like heroin.
I'm
just kidding. If it was crank, no way. But heroin, I could handle.
Right on. Yeah.
As long as I could keep my heart
beating. Well, you get enough
beating.
Money, you can go to the Betty Ford Clinic eventually.
As long as
like
I can keep
Billy
my heart
Joe
beating
Armstrong.
A little bit like. Maximum 40 beats per minute. Hey, are we to an hour yet?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we'll wrap this up. We were supposed to have a guest on Friday's show, but we just received a last-minute notification that he would not be able to appear. So we're going to absorb the work. Or it's not work. It's play. But we might give him a call just to embarrass him. What do you got? What are you doing over there? Are you balancing your phone on something weird? Oh, he's taking a photo.
Take a picture.
Oh, I get it. Because why? Because we're on Stitcher.
Yeah, because we're on Stitcher.
But yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it to anybody or not, but we were supposed to have Carmichael McGee on the program, a.k.a. Mike McGowan, local comic and local friend and local...
Carmichael, is that his name? I'm not... I met Carmichael once at the last... comic thing,
I'm not 100% positive if his full first name is Carmichael. His name on MySpace is Mike McGowan, so yeah. That's the McGee. I think Carmichael. He's got some Irish in him.
All right,
we would have found out more about that. But
I ask you a question about him though?
Oh, you sure can.
Has he ever owned a horse?
I don't know, but we might call him on Friday and find out. But
right on.
And if we can't get a hold of him, you know, we'll do something. We're going to have him back on the show.
Sounds good.
We have some kind of phenomenon going on where people schedule with us and then they can't make it. So if you'd like to be on the show and can make it, contact us at what? contact@tagcastpodcast.com.
That is exactly it.
Delete the part. Don't type that
hey,
in.
Hey, we recently released two episodes of the Zappa Tagcast.
Yeah, we're back in action after
a month and a half of silence. So we'll come back at you with some unpertinent information and some conjecture. Hope you guys have a happy...
I'm just going to write on there the Zappa Conjecture Cast.
Conjecture Cast. Have a happy Humpoween or happy Hump Day.
Hey, you too, thanks.
Do some humping.
Yeah, if I knew what conjecture fully meant, just I would make the Conjecture Cast.
I'm going to speculate that it means speculation. Hey, we'll see you guys on Friday.
Rock on.
And metal up your arse. Hey there, you Taggots. Want something fun to do this weekend in the next coming weeks?
Yeah, I do.
Of course you do. You don't want to be a stick in the mud. Hey, get out to Indie Pizza this Friday, November 2nd. It's Pizza by the Slice, hosted by Jesse Priest. We got Tim Hammer, Seth Milstein, Marsha Belsky, and Kristen Manville. Three of those are coming down from Portland, and Seth, of course, you know him from our show. He's from Eugene. That starts at 9 o'clock. I believe it's $5 at the door. And then the next night, we got Cloud and Kelly's with 30-pound test and bikini and DJ on the spot. What's his name? Turntable Enabler. That's right, J.D. Monroe. Sorry about my tongue twisters. It's 21 and over. It's $3 at the door. It's 10 o'clock to midnight, so he'll be spinning some metal albums before, in between, and after band, so come out for that. The next weekend at the Stonefront Tavern in Salem, that's on Commercial, we got a comedy extravaganza with myself headlining the night. I believe Bradley Peterson will be hosting or performing. He's putting on the show. It's no cover charge. It starts at 9 o'clock, and there'll be a couple other good comics as well, so come out to that. Sunday night, November 11th, at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland is Napalm Death with Municipal Waste, Exhumed, Attitude Adjustment, and Portland's own Wehrmacht doing a show that they don't usually play that much, so you'd be lucky to go check them out. $16, all ages. The doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. I'll be there. Saturday, November 17th, the Dixie Creek Comedy Showcase number 4 is coming at you with our headliner, Andy Andrist. I'll be doing a set. Jesse Priest will be doing a set. Dustin Gatcher will be hosting the show. We'll be doing a live taping of the season finale of season 2 of the TagCast podcast after the show, so you don't want to miss that. It starts at 9:30. It's 21 and over, but it's a free show. Donations are suggested but not required. Friday, November 30th, it's Blake's birthday bash at the Tiger Bar with 30-pound test, Awake, and We Have Guns. That's going to be, as they call, a rager. That's 21 and over. It's $6. It starts at 9 p.m. That's up in Portland. Get out there and check those guys out. The Dixie Creek Saloon is bringing some doom into their place there on Saturday, December 8th, with Ninth Moon Black, Witchasaurus Hex, Die Like Gentlemen, and Grief Hammer. That's going to be a great show. Come out. It's free. It's 21 and over. It starts at 9 o'clock. Here's the biggest one on my list after Napalm Death. It's Friday, December 14th at the Oak Street Speakeasy, Corrosion of Conformity with Yob and Saviors, 21 and over. More details to come. I don't know how much it's going to cost. I'm just surprised that COC is playing there at all. So stay tuned for details on that. Also, if you're not in that area or you'd rather go do something else, the same night at the Whiteside Theater, December 14th, it's Floater with 30-pound test. That's in Corvallis. It's all ages. More details are coming soon on tickets and prices and stuff like that. So go check out some shows, kids. There's lots of stuff to do. In the meantime, listen to our TagCast podcast.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings,
and CNEU Radio on Monday afternoons.
Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.